Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Happy Resurrection Day, everybody. Good to see you all. Thank you so much for joining us for this very special celebration of the greatest day in history. I want to say a big hello to all of our Calvary campuses. We are one church with three different campuses that meet every Sunday to worship and grow together. We have our online campus, which many of you are joining us on today from all over. So make sure that you tell one of our hosts online today where you're joining us from and how we can pray for you. We also have our Mandarin campus, which meets every Sunday, two services that I also join them for, which is just across the foyer in our Schroeder Hall. So we're excited. We love our Mandarin campus. And then our main campus that meets right here in the auditorium where all of you are sitting today on this extremely special day. And you know what? Our Calvary kids from both campuses come together every Sunday and experience our Big Time Kids program in our kids' wing. So we're one church meeting in three unique spaces every single Sunday. Not to mention all the many small groups that meet throughout the week, both here at the church and in homes all around the Lower Mainland. So we're excited about that. I love, love, love what God is doing in our church family right now. And I believe that there is a hunger like never before in our nation for God as churches are growing stronger. And so if you're here today for the first time, I want to personally welcome you home, especially if you're searching for hope. Maybe you're searching to just grow in your faith. Well, you are in the right place today. You know what? In the midst of all the craziness that is our world today, it's good to know there is still hope. You know, we have a city full of great churches, and I believe that we are one of them. So if you're looking and praying about a church home for your family, I'd like to recommend this one. It's my favorite. And so we'd love to welcome you and your family to our ever-growing table. There's always room for more. You know, we always say that we're a next steps church, and our mission reflects those steps. And it's very simple and very clear. It's not something that we came up with that was clever. It's something based in Scripture. The first part of our mission is loving God. You know what? We believe you can know Him personally, and you can have a very real relationship with God, much more than religion. We are so much better in this position when we do this together. You can experience salvation. You can experience baptism and worship as a church family every week. The strength comes in us standing together. Second part of our mission is loving people. You know, when we love God, we start loving what He loves, and that is one another. That's who He gave His life for. We believe that the most effective care and community and connection happens as we grow together, as we find freedom and grow stronger in smaller groups. And then finally, the last component of our mission is loving life. You know, when we start loving God and loving one another, the people that He sent His Son to die for, we discover a life full of purpose and compassion. We settle yesterday, and we start seeing our tomorrow more clearly. We get equipped together. We find opportunities both here in the church and in our community to serve on teams and to grow as leaders. And then we begin to see the difference that we can make in our nation and in our world. It's very exciting. You know, starting with Holy Week, Palm Sunday last week, begins a chain of events that would powerfully lead to our redemption. Palm Sunday begins with the crowds shouting His name. It was a huge gathering. It's like a parade. And Good Friday reveals the power that is in that name. And Easter Sunday, today, represents the resurrected Jesus calling you and I personally by name, calling us in to new life. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, in the first verse, God is speaking directly to the nation of Israel. And by extension, he's speaking to his chosen people, you and me. And he says, do not be afraid. That's a good message today in the world that we live in. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. You know, at the cross, God paid the highest price for the forgiveness of our sins with his son. And he laid his life down so that we could live in freedom. He has redeemed us. And then it says, I have called you by name. This is God speaking to Israel, but also speaking to you and I. I have called you by name. You are mine. You know, the good shepherd, he calls his sheep by name. He knows us. Yet in the midst of it all, we all experience things in our lives that can sometimes slow our progress or even bring it to a complete halt for a time. Scripture records the names of three unique people Jesus called by name. Those blinded by grief, those hopeless without life, and those defined by failure. And much like us, these obstacles can often prevent us from hearing and knowing him in a personal way. So identifying these things is key to hearing him call our name. The first thing that we need to understand is that grief can cloud our recognition of who he is. Mary Magdalene was a character in Scripture who understood this all too well. Mary was a woman from Magdala, which was a city on the southwest coast of the Sea of Galilee, who Jesus had cast out seven evil spirits from. And so he brought her out of the darkness into the light. And after he freed her and gave her new life, she became one of his followers. And she witnessed most of the events that surrounded the crucifixion. So we could easily see through Scripture that Mary loved Jesus deeply. And you know what? After he was put to death and placed in the tomb, Mary was one of the first to arrive. And when she did, she found that the stone had been rolled away and that Jesus' body was missing. She was panicked in the moment, trying to figure out what was going on. And in that moment, the angels appeared to her and asked her why she was crying. And then in her grief, Jesus appears to her. In John chapter 20, verses 14 through 16, Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener and said, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." And then the word that changed everything, "Mary," Jesus said. And then she turned and cried out, "Rabboni," or teacher. See, Mary doesn't recognize Jesus at first when he appeared before her until he called her by name, Mary. That one word opened her eyes. You see, grief had blinded her, but his resurrection becomes personal through recognition. The second thing that we need to see and understand is that Jesus can call life from death. Lazarus, another character in Scripture, was from Bethany, and he was the brother of Mary and Martha. Now, these three siblings, they were friends and disciples of Jesus, and they were people that Jesus loved dearly. Now, Lazarus at one point became quite ill, and Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus begging him to come to heal their brother because they knew that his time was short. Now, sadly, when Jesus had arrived, Lazarus had already passed away, and he had already been buried for 4 days. And all seemed lost to his sisters and to the people who knew and loved him. There was great mourning and sorrow in this moment. So in that moment, Jesus, knowing that he was only sleeping and not dead, had the people roll the stone away, and then he cried out to his Father. He began to pray. John 11, 43 to 44 records this moment. And it says that Jesus shouted his name. He said, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Lazarus woke from the deep sleep of death when Jesus called him by name, Lazarus. That pronouncement of his name changed everything. Even death obeys his voice. Resurrection begins where hope seems impossible, and his voice brings life to the hopeless. And then finally, the last thing that we need to see here is that failure is not the final name that we have in our lives. Nor was it in Simon Peter, also known as Cephas. This was a brash fisherman who was one of the first followers of Jesus. He was an outspoken, enthusiastic, strong-willed disciple. But make no mistake, he was also an apostle. He was a pillar of the early church. And after the resurrection, before Jesus ascends to heaven, he had one more breakfast appointment that was very important for him to keep, and that was with Peter on the beach. Following a miraculous catch of fish, Jesus appears and asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Corresponding to Peter's three denials of Jesus. And then he commissions him to feed my sheep. And at breakfast, he fully reinstates him to leadership. John 21, 15 says, a third time he asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt. He was incensed that Jesus asked the question a third time. And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." You know, Peter denied Jesus three times, but he calls him by name, calls Peter, and he restores him. You know, labels of failure in this lifetime and in his are replaced with identity now in Christ. Our failures are not final. You need to hear that again. Our failures are not final because his name gives us new life and new purpose. You know, when I was a kid, my parents would always fill a little Easter basket for my sister and I. We used to love waking up on Easter morning to find this out on the coffee table or the couch, and it was incredibly fun for us. Usually there was like an Easter bunny, chocolate Easter bunny. There was a big egg. There was some little eggs, and there was a toy in there that you'd get. For me, it was probably like a little race car or something. And so we loved this. We were excited to see this every Easter morning. And what made this so special for us was not just what was in it, because sometimes the egg would have my name written in icing, or there would be my name on the front of the basket. And that made all the difference in the world, right? Because someone had taken the time not only to put it together, but to make it personal. And it's really a simple thing, but it always made me feel seen and valued in that moment, even to this day. And that's really what Easter is all about. Jesus doesn't call us by the labels that the world gives us, or the labels that perhaps we have given ourselves, like broken or forgotten, not enough, imposter. These are all things that sometimes we quietly and silently wear and nobody else knows. You see, he calls us by name. He called Peter to new life, not letting failure define him. He calls Lazarus out of the grave when hope seemed lost. And he called Mary as her grief turned to joy the moment she heard him speak her name. And like that chocolate egg with your name on it, Easter is God saying to you, this is for you. I've done this for you. I see you. You are mine. It's not just about the spectacle, the empty tomb, the angels, the miracle itself, although these things are incredible. It's really about recognition. The risen Christ sees you. He knows you. And today he calls you by name. Would you bow your heads with me wherever you are here in the church, joining us online? Let's just take a moment to pray together. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this quiet moment of resurrection, do you hear him calling your name? Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He calls you by name so that we can call him. You can know him today. You can know him in a personal way. And if that's you, if you're here in the auditorium, I want you to lift up your hand all across this auditorium, because I want to include you in this prayer. If you're at home, you can lift up your hand too. And let the host know that you're praying this prayer with us today, because I don't want anyone to miss this Easter miracle. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today that you call us by name. You are our good shepherd. And today in this moment, we respond to you calling us. And we know that you value us. We know that you see us. We know that you did what you did by laying down your life and coming back from the dead, rising from the dead with new life to give us new life. So in this moment, we pray this simple prayer. If we're coming to Jesus for the first time or returning to him after being away because of all the distractions that we sometimes face, if that's you today, there at home or here in the auditorium, would you pray this simple prayer? Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for laying down your life and dying on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin. I ask you now in this moment to come into my heart, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. And I pray that that joy that fills my heart today would be the same joy that I share with people wherever I go. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, when you came in this morning, you were given one of these labels. Hello, my name is. It's blank. And I want you to pull that out right now. You know, I've got a pet peeve in life. It's these labels. When I go to a function and somebody says, would you fill out your name and put on this label? I hate these labels. I don't want to put these labels on me. Because inevitably, I write my name there, and then I put it on my lapel, and within minutes, it starts to peel off. And I'm always trying to stick it back on. It's just annoying to me. But as we close our service today with our final song, I'd like to invite everyone to take that label that you were given. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask all of you to come down. We've got three people across the front, two on each end, one in the middle. They're holding two baskets. One basket is empty. The other basket is filled with a gift that we'd like to send you home with today. And so if you've prayed that prayer today for the first time, or you've recommitted yourself, this is a prayer for you too. This is a moment for you, but it's a moment for everybody. I want us to all participate. And if you're watching from home, it's a little more difficult for you to do, but you can follow along when it comes to understanding the illustration. You see, in this lifetime, some of us are carrying labels in our life. It's blank for a reason, because most of the names that we've been given over the years, most of the names that we've given ourselves, whatever label is on you that has held you back, whatever that may be, nobody usually sees it except us. So today, in this moment, we're going to ask all of you to come forward, and you online, imagine this label in your hand, this blank label. And what I want you to do when you come down or at home is to just crumple that thing up. Leave it at the cross. And then as you go today, in that other basket is a sweet little reminder of what Christ has done for you on the cross. And whatever name that you have carried for so long, whatever name has held you down or held you back, today you are freed of it in Jesus' name. He now calls you redeemed. And so as you go from this place today, take one of these gifts with you on your way out the door. If you're here and you're unable to come down because of a physical disability, then put up your hand. We want to give these to you as well. And wherever you are, we want everybody to get one today. And so come down to the front, take those labels, crumple them up, throw them in that empty basket, and take one of these gifts to remind you forevermore that you are redeemed in Him. Happy Easter to you all. Have a wonderful day with your family. And I want to encourage you to come back next week because we're starting a brand new series called The Mount. This is an exploration of the greatest sermon ever preached by Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount as he begins to unfold what the life in the kingdom looks like. So you're not going to want to miss it. So come and bring a friend. We can't wait to see you there. God bless you all.